This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الذي بشر به عيسى ابن مريم ودعا لبعثته ابراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اتباعه خير الامم الذين بارك الله بهم كافه الناس العرب منهم والعجم. الله اكبر، الله اكبر، الله اكبر، لا اله الا الله، والله اكبر، الله اكبر، ولله الحمد. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان محمدا عبد الله ورسوله ارسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون يسألونك عن الأهلة إلى آخر الآية. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. In today's brief khutbah, I want to share some thoughts with you that are coming from a portion of the Quran that Allah revealed to us in Surah Al-Baqarah. It comes right after what Allah teaches us about Ramadan. For those of you who don't know, Allah only talks about the month of Ramadan one time in the whole Quran, and that's in Surah Al-Baqarah. We all know that the Muslims, our lives are based on two schedules. There's a daily schedule and there's a yearly schedule, right? And just like at home or on your devices, you have a clock and you have a calendar, right? There's two. The clock, the purpose of the clock is your daily schedule, and the purpose of the calendar is your monthly yearly schedule. Right? So the same way Allah created the system in our prayers, in our worship to Allah, that the sun is our clock. So depending on where the sun is which time to pray. That's our clock. And the moon is our calendar. Right? So the way the moon works and the way that the phases of the moon, that's our calendar. And based on, of course, the worship of Ramadan is based on the lunar calendar. It's based on the moon. Right? And there are two major events every year that are based on the moon that we have to observe, that are a major part of our relationship with Allah. And these are the two Eids, right? So the coming of Ramadan, culminating in Eid, and the Hajj season. The two major worships are fasting and Hajj, the two pillars of Islam. They're tied to the lunar calendar, both of them. Now what's happening, the reason I brought all of this up, you know all of this already. The reason I brought this up is Allah talks in Al-Baqarah about Ramadan. And then right after that, there's one ayah, and I'm not going to tell you about that ayah yet. Skip one ayah, and then Allah talks about Hajj. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِّ. So the two things, the two items on our lunar calendar are mentioned back to back, and there's only one thing in the middle. So it's really important that we understand that one thing in the middle, because the one before and the one after has to do with our relationship with Allah. Why do we, what's the great reward of Ramadan? It gives you a new start. You started over with Allah, you fasted before Allah, only with Allah as witness. Nobody was forcing you, nobody could control you, nobody had authority over you to stop you from eating and drinking. It wasn't illegal, but you stopped yourself anyway. No, there was no authority over you, and you obeyed Allah continuously for hours and hours and hours without any compromise, right? You trained yourself to become obedient to Allah. I trained myself to be obedient to Allah for 30 days. We did that. And we deprived ourselves even sometimes of basic needs like food and water. And we deprived ourselves. So this is an exercise in us learning to rebuild our relationship with Allah. And it's the same exact kind of logic for Hajj. isn't it? Because when somebody goes to Hajj, they're starting over their relationship with Allah. And Hajj is also about deprivation. You'll notice Ramadan is about deprivation. You deprive yourself of some basic things. And Hajj, you deprive.
Here, it's also about deprivation. And you deprive yourself for a set period of time to teach yourself that you are capable and I am capable of stopping ourselves from whatever we want to do. We can put control over ourselves. But in between these two things, Allah mentioned the following ayah. And that's the subject. I'll take maybe 10 minutes or so just to talk about this ayah and we're done. And this ayah, Allah says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't eat up each other's monies using lies. That's the statement. There's more to the ayah, but that's the crux of the ayah. Don't eat up each other's money using lies. Now, what in the world does that have to do with Ramadan? What does that have to do with Hajj? In Ramadan, you learn to make certain things haram for yourself. Water is halal, but for several hours in the day, water was haram. It's wrong for you. Food was wrong. It's halal otherwise, it's not halal anymore. From that lesson, Allah now says, now those things are halal, but some things are forever haram. Just like you couldn't touch the food and the water during the fast, I want you to have the same mentality when you think about your business partner's money that you owe him and you're not paying it back. It's the same exact mentality. Don't eat something you're not allowed to eat. Don't consume what you're not allowed to consume. I'm going to tell you, there are our scholars, especially Ibn Ashur, did a really beautiful job on this ayah. I'll simplify it for you guys. He talks about money, because the ayah is about money, right? He says money is three kinds. What amwal means is three things. And it's a really nice description. The first thing that money means is what we know it means. Stuff you use to buy other things. Cash, right? Bank account. The assets that you have. Back in the day, gold and silver. All of that is mal. Fine. Everybody knows that one. So your savings and the stuff you use to buy things and to engage in new businesses and all of that, that's mal. That's number one. Number two are the things you use every day and the things that you keep consuming, like your car is also mal. The food in the fridge is also mal. The clothes you're wearing is also mal. The stuff that you're using all the time is also mal. That's the second. And the third is really interesting. The Arabs used to call the camel mal in their poetry. And they used to call the sheep also mal. And they used to call the farmland also mal. And why did they do that? Anything you use to make money, anything you use to make money. So for the farmer, the tractor is really important because he can't do the farming job without his tractor. That's his mal. For a clinic, all the medical equipment that's there, without which they cannot do their work, that's their mal. For a taxi driver, an Uber driver, his car that he needs to make his money is also his mal. So it's actually mal doesn't just include money, it also includes all the things you need to be able to make money. The tools that you have, the resources that you have, the job that you have to be the livelihood, the means of your livelihood, that's also included in mal. So what is Allah saying then if we say, don't eat each other's mal using lies? And I'll tell you before I go on, I'll tell you something about lies too. Batil. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Al-batal in Arabic is a really interesting word. It actually, they used to say batal al-ajir when a worker is sitting there, you paid him, and he's sitting there, he's not doing any work. They would say, batal al-ajir. Why? Because when someone has energy and they don't use it, as if they don't have any energy, they're actually engaged in batal. And from it came the idea, it looks like he's not even capable of working, but that's actually a lie. In other words, there's something different on the inside, there's the potential on the inside, the energy is there, it's stored, but it's not being used. That's actually one of the core meanings of batal. So batal means you show something else on the outside, but something else is going on the inside, right? And so in this ayah, what we're learning is, if I have to think about, am I hurting somebody else's business? Am I hurting somebody else's livelihood? It's not just about stealing. Allah didn't say, لا تسرقوا, don't steal. He said, don't eat each other's, you know, money. So how do people eat each other's money? Well, sometimes you want to just use somebody else's resources, even though they're not yours. It's not stealing. but you're hurting their business. Or somebody says, hey, I'm going to get a job at this company, or I'm going to get a job with my friend because he's got a nice business, but I'm not really getting a job to get a job. I want to learn everything he does and how he does it. And then I'm going to steal all of his business ideas and all of his employees, and I'm going to start my own thing, and I'm going to make sure he goes down. Right? So you're not just, you're doing work, but actually using this lie, building your trust, you're actually stealing somebody else's business. You're destroying somebody else's livelihood. It's not just taking money, it's hurting their livelihood. That's within this ayah also. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. When we have somebody else's, you know, families, sometimes they share things, right? You share a car, or you share, sometimes a kitchen, sometimes other kinds of things you're sharing, right? And you know that you should be getting the groceries and covering some of your expenses, but you know, the food's already there. Let me just keep taking from that one. It's good savings because I'm going to keep taking my brother's stuff or my uncle's stuff or, you know, somebody else's stuff. It's just family. It's okay. You're slowly eating what's not yours. لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. The same way in many cultures, you'll have, there's a conditioning that happens. Some people are told who your real family is. So in many cultures, I won't name them. If you're from that culture, you will smile and you will tell me, okay? So they'll tell you that your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, that's your real family. But your wife and your kids, they're the problem part. They're not your real family. They're the problem, okay? So if your son says, Dad, I want to start a new business. We don't have money like that. Okay, your son says, hey, Dad, I need to, you know, let's do this work together, or I need some help. You know, we can't do that. Or the wife says, hey, I need some help with this. No, we don't have, you know, our budget is really tight. But then your brother calls and says, hey, I need $5,000. Yeah, of course. Son, why? Because that's your real family. This is not your real family. You understand? And this is, and by the way, as the head of the household, there are people that have rights over you that come first. وَبِمَا أَنفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ Allah says that you have to spend on your spouse and your children. That's your first responsibility. And now you're denying that responsibility because that's the real family. Right? That's the real. And that's actually also لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ It's within that. It's within these meanings. So this is a very heavy ayah. Don't hurt somebody else's business. Don't steal their money. Don't drain them unfairly. Don't put financial drain on them. Psychologists nowadays, they call this financial abuse. It's a form of psychological abuse, putting pressure on someone for finances when you know you don't deserve them, right? And this is a very common practice in many, many, many people's lives. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا بَيْنَكُمْ أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ So Allah is now telling us, all this month, I spent this whole month trying to get close to Allah, and so I could get taqwa. Taqwa means you're careful. And the first thing Allah wants me to be careful about is money. And don't hurt people and don't take other people's rights in terms of money. So Allah's test for whether or not I have taqwa is actually how I deal with my money matters. That's actually the first test. You know what we think, the taqwa, if somebody really has taqwa, their facial hair is going to be different. When somebody really has taqwa, you're going to see their clothing is different. When somebody really has taqwa, you're going to hear more Arabic come out of their mouth. Jazakallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. That's how this is, he's on a taqwa track right now. He's on a taqwa track, you know? So these are the, we look at these things, these visible things, or somebody's praying now that you didn't used to pray. Oh, this guy's on taqwa. But you know what? You could be praying five prayers. Your beard could be mashallah, alhamdulillah. You could be all that, but your money matters are in the gutter. And that's not taqwa at all. That's not taqwa at all. That's why between the two great acts of worship, Allah put money matters in between. Nothing in the Quran is by accident. Nothing. Uhkimat ayatuhu. The ayat were stitched together. So your connection to Allah immediately is supposed to change your connection to people and how you deal with them financially. Nobody should be able to say on Judgment Day, I need to be careful. I need to be able to stand in front of Allah on Judgment Day and say, Ya Allah, I didn't take anyone's money unfairly. And I didn't give someone's right to somebody else. If I owed somebody, I gave them, and I didn't take their right and give it to somebody else. I should be able to say that to Allah on Judgment Day. I better be very clear, because nobody else is going to come and stand on my behalf. I have to explain myself. There is no excuse. So he says, وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. As I was studying this ayah, I was fascinated. The next step is, and don't use the money to pull in rulers, to influence judges. Don't use money to influence judges. For what purpose? So you could end up taking a portion of other people's money. Meaning, first of all, you earn money the wrong way. Now that you've got the wrong kind of money, now you're using it to influence who? Judges, so that they can judge in your favor. And by the way, judges are not just in court. Judges are not just in government. Sometimes judges are in family too, yes or no? The elder in a family can be a judge. The senior in a community can be a judge. In any environment, somebody of influence, somebody of stature can be a judge. And now you can use your money to influence their opinion. Give them a really expensive Eid gift and say, hey, I need you to, you know, they're going to discuss this with you. I just need you to make sure that you're fair. You hear both sides and you just point to yourself, right? This notion of actually using your money to influence the opinion of others, buying out the opinion of others. This happens in many, many fields, in many spaces, not just in the court of law. And our scholars were so clear about this ayah. Like Ibn Ashur said something amazing. He said, sometimes you can have a corrupt judge, even a qadi, who's judging by sharia, can be a corrupt judge, and you can buy the judge. And now we know, especially now living in the West and living in different parts of the world, you don't even just have to have a corrupt judge. Sometimes the system itself is corrupt. Sometimes the system is designed that it helps the rich and it hurts the poor. Or it's unfairly in favor of men or unfairly in favor of women in some cases. And somebody gets rocked because and then you say, no, this was fair because the judge ordered it. The judge must have been fair. Our scholars were clear. Just because a judge ordered something doesn't mean it became halal. Listen to that again. A judge's decree doesn't make something halal. If Allah said that was wrongly taken, then even a judge's judgment is not enough to make it halal, even though you might feel better about yourself. There's a difference between the two. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So this is a happy time. It's time for us to celebrate, but let's celebrate the right things. Let's let me become conscious of my money matters and where I spend and how I spend and who I owe to. And if somebody owes you, I pray they're listening and they're thinking, hey, yeah, I took that wrongly. And by the way, just because you're angry at someone doesn't give you a right to take their stuff. Right? Oh, they hurt me really. They hurt my feelings. Now I'm going to take their life savings. They hurt my feelings. Therefore, I'm going to destroy their car or I'm going to hurt their business because they said this one thing to me 5 years ago or they said this one thing to me last Ramadan and now I'm so upset. I'm going to just take this. It's only fair. Their idea is it's only fair. This is also لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. And when people say, why did you do it? Then you're trying to sway their opinion and say, no. Let me buy you a gift. And let me make you say, yeah, that's all. It's only fair. وَتُدْلُوا بِهَا إِلَى الْحُكَّامِ لِتَأْكُلُوا فَرِيقًا مِّنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْإِثْمِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. These are the things that bring harmony in society. Just like Allah has given us a chance to develop a harmony between us and Him by coming close to Him, by worshiping Him, by reciting the Quran, by fasting, we got closer to Allah. The same way we have to build harmony within each other, and it's not going to happen if the money matters are going in the wrong direction. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us learn this profound lesson that Allah wants us to learn right after the teaching of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون عيد مبارك to all of you.